You're listening to SBS News.
Revelers in New York's Times Square ringing in a new year and a new decade. But few could have predicted the turbulence around the world that would come to define the year 2020. On January 3, tensions in the Middle East were already at a fever pitch.
Last night, at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani.
President Donald Trump revealed the United States had assassinated Iran's second most powerful figure.
3, 2, 1!
After a long wait, Great Britain finally made its exit from the European Union in February. But it was another departure that shocked the nation. Prince Harry and his wife, Princess Meghan Markle, quitting the royal family. Royal expert Russell Myers.
I understand that senior members of the royal family are incandescent with rage, that this is a very, very serious issue, that they've chosen to go it alone.
In the United States, it seemed the president wasn't going anywhere. The impeachment of Donald Trump on charges of high crimes and misdemeanors ending in acquittal on the floor of the Republican-controlled Senate.
I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
But those events would be swiftly forgotten in the months that followed.
We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus in March announcing the novel coronavirus had spread across the world. The virus emerged from the epicenter of Wuhan in China, where authorities built hospital wards in mere weeks to combat the infectious outbreak. It quickly spread into nearby Asian countries, then through the Middle East, before ravaging Europe and the United States. Italy's hospitals were overrun with patients, intensive care units at capacity, with health workers unable to save thousands of vulnerable patients. There was chaos in the United Kingdom as the pandemic infiltrated No. 10 Downing Street. Prime Minister Boris Johnson became the first major world leader to test positive, treated in intensive care like thousands of other Britons. The pandemic saw countries choose to lock down their cities, forcing residents to stay at home to prevent rampant community transmission. New Zealand's leader Jacinda Ardern aimed to eradicate the virus from its shores.
We must go hard and we must go early. We must do everything we can to protect the health of New Zealanders.
The hard lockdown was a successful approach, with New Zealand one of the first Western nations to eliminate the virus. The United States emerged as the hardest hit nation. It has recorded over 15 million total cases and over 300,000 deaths. As hospitals reached capacity, mobile morgues were set up in several cities to cope with the stark death toll. The crisis was not helped by the comments of President Trump to downplay the virus risk.
And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute. And is there a way we can do something like that? Injection.
Good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. When you test, when you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
India, with a population of over 1 billion people, is the second hardest hit nation in terms of cases. Brazil is second to the United States in the total number of deaths. Its populist leader, Jair Bolsonaro, contracted the virus. Amid the chaos caused by the pandemic, there was also unrest and upheaval as protesters marched to protect the values of democracy. In Hong Kong, new national security legislation was passed by the Chinese government, criminalising acts of secession, subversion, foreign collusion, and terrorism. A swift crackdown on protesters and anti-government voices of dissent followed. Media tycoon Jimmy Lai and activists Agnes Chow and Joshua Wong were all charged under the new laws.
Neither prison bars, nor election bans, nor any other arbitrary power will stop us from activism. What we are doing now is to explain the value of freedom to the world through our compassion to whom we love, so much that we are willing to sacrifice the freedom of our own.
In Belarus, widespread protests followed a disputed election, which saw the regime of President Alexander Lukashenko, known as Europe's last dictator, return to power. While in Thailand, thousands of young people called for unprecedented reforms to the monarchy, voicing their opposition to the reign of Maha Vajiralongkorn. In the Middle East, Lebanon went from one crisis to another. A massive explosion devastating the city of Beirut after 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate stored in a harbour warehouse ignited. The blast caused 204 deaths, over 7,500 injuries, and left an estimated 300,000 people homeless in a country already in economic ruin, the result of decades of corruption and poor governance. The United States, already scarred by the pandemic and in the throes of a bitter and ugly election campaign, also saw significant civil unrest. In May, the final words of George Floyd reverberated across the country and the world.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
His death in police custody in Minneapolis led to global protests, reigniting the Black Lives Matter movement for equality. In London, Star Wars actor John Boyega made an impassioned address to a crowd of thousands.
I need you to understand how painful it is.
Guys,
to be reminded every day that your race means nothing. And that isn't the case anymore. Black lives have always mattered. We have always been important. We have always meant something. We have always succeeded, regardless. And now is the time. I ain't waiting.
Peaceful protests turned into looting and destruction in the Minnesota capital, while in Washington, D.C., a steel wall separated the president from the angry public outside. Mr. Trump threatened to send in the National Guard to disperse demonstrators.
I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters.
Mr. Trump threatened to send in the National Guard to disperse demonstrators. He then staged a controversial stunt. The president photographed clutching a Bible outside a local Washington church, while police tear-gassed protesters to clear his way. The performance seemed to do little to help his flagging poll numbers in his campaign for re-election. The president was challenged by former Democratic Vice President Joe Biden, running on a promise to unify the nation.
I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. United, we can and will overcome this season of darkness in America.
Supporting him as candidate for vice president, California Senator Kamala Harris, who became the first woman and person of color to run for the position.
Let's fight with conviction. Let's fight with hope. Let's fight with confidence in ourselves and a commitment to each other.
The first debate between both candidates, less of a challenge of ideas, more a battle of insults.
Your party wants to go socialist medicine.
My party is
and
me.
Socialist
right
healthcare.
Now, I am
and
the
they're
going to
dominate
party.
You, Joe. You know that.
You should go out and vote.
Why would you answer that
because
question?
Because the question is, will you shut
your,
up, man?
Listen,
you're the worst president America has ever had.
And the president's chances took another hit when he was hospitalized after contracting COVID-19 1 month from the vote in October. After a brief stay at the Walter Reed Medical Center and an experimental cocktail of drugs to stabilize his condition, President Trump ramped up his campaign in the final weeks with several mass rallies each day, while Mr. Biden shunned the crowds to abide by coronavirus guidelines. On election night, the race was too close for media organizations to call. The president himself was confident of victory after early leads in several key states.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
But in the days that followed, his lead was eroded as mail-in ballots swung overwhelmingly in Biden's favor.
After four long, tense days, we've reached a historic moment in this election.
We can say that Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. is on track to win the state of Pennsylvania, become the 46th president of the United States.
Following those words, there were scenes of joy and dancing on the streets of America's cities, a diverse crowd celebrating the end of the Trump presidency. President-elect Biden pledged to end division.
This is the time to heal in America.
Let this grim era of demonization in America begin to end here and now.
And as 2020 came to a close, there was renewed hope for an end to a pandemic that has changed the world, with multiple vaccine candidates reporting strong success rates. The United Kingdom was the first to roll out a vaccination program. 91-year-old Margaret Keenan was the first person to receive the vaccine manufactured by Pfizer.
So wonderful, really. Yeah, so this is for a good cause, so I'm so pleased I had it done. This is a terrible, terrible disease, so we do want rid of it, you know, so anything that helps is a bonus, isn't it?
And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Naveen Razik, SBS News.